and welcome into episode 32 of the Calcio Connection podcast, connecting with you Italian football fans from all over the world. I am Alex Dono, and I'm in such a great mood today with Serie A coming back. I'm in such a great mood. I don't even mind talking some Juventus today. Before we introduce our special guest who's going to talk some Juve and Serie A with us, let me introduce my co-host, as always, Jerry Mancini. Jerry, how are you?
Fucking fabulous. That's what it is. All right? We have Serie A back. I've been happy and grateful that the Bundesliga returned first, and me knowing squat jack fuck all about the German league, I'll be honest. And it's been nice to actually learn some of these players and who is really good in the league. But now my true blood is back. It's Lazio, and I can finally smell Ciro Immobile wanting to break fucking Gonzalo Higuain's 36-goal record. I hope he beats that fucker's record. Fuck that piece of shit. Because I watched that Juventus documentary, and when I saw him celebrate against Napoli when he scored the winning goal for Juventus, and you talk about how much you love the city, and you have this pass, and you just love the team so much, and you go cheer against the club that you just left, go fuck yourself. Fuck you, you piece of shit. That's all I can say when I watched that moment. Fuck him. I hope Ciro Immobile beats that fucking record, because not only will he do it for Lazio, but he'll do it for the Napolitans that I'm guaranteeing you would love to see Ciro Immobile beat that record. Because he's
1,000%. 1,000%. They would love it.
So, and it's a great day to see Serie A back. People are there's been so much happiness I've seen on Twitter today that people are seeing the league that they love so much. It's been the best league this year, personally, the most entertaining, the most competitive. We don't know who's going to win the Scudetto. We don't know who's going to get relegated. We don't know who's going to earn those last spots for the Europa League and the Champions League. So much up for grab. And the only thing I'm scared about, and I don't know the protocol, is if someone gets infected, I'm scared that the minute there's one positive, does everything get shut down now, because the whole team has to be quarantined. So that's what
they're saying.
Me.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole ins and outs if that's the case. And there has to be something. Like, I just can't see the season progressing the whole way, because there's just one person fucks everything up. So it's something that we are, I honestly think, I was reading about Gravina was talking about if things continue to drop, he would actually consider like changing the whole quarantine type of procedure. And I'm reading it right here. The medical protocol agreed for city matches will quarantine the whole squad for 14 days with a positive test, but is open to changes if the COVID-19 pandemic in Italy eases. So my opinion is, I think they are going to change the protocol.
Yeah.
Because I Spotify knows that this is an unrealistic rule that will never make the league continue and finish. So it's interesting to see what happens. But hey, Bundesliga hasn't had a case, I believe, yet, not going away, which is nice to see.
Yeah, and Bundesliga has their own rule, which is a lot more lenient, that if a player tests positive, you just quarantine that player. You don't have to quarantine the rest of their club. So you don't have to disqualify that entire club, and then any other club they were exposed to, you know, disqualify them from competition. So it's much different. It's a lot less strict than the Serie A rule. So, yeah, I think maybe the only way to really finish it would be to ease that quarantine policy over time. And, you know, the pandemic is easing in Italy, so hopefully it stays at that same rate. You know, they reopened the country, or started reopening the country about 3 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. So knock on wood, it keeps improving there and they don't have any setbacks. But let's introduce our special guest for this episode. This man does a great job covering Serie A and Juve for World Football Index. First time guest on Calcio Connection, Daniel Lucci is with us. Daniel, how are you, sir?
Good, Alex. How are you? Thanks for having me on, guys. Jerry, how are you? A little ease up on Higuain a little bit, eh? He's not that bad.
Fuck him. Fuck you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Fuck him and fuck Juventus. I hope we take your Scudetto away. Fuck it. I'm tired of seeing Juventus winning. It's time that we take back what was ours 20 years ago. Fuck, 20 years ago, man. Oh, my God. It's been too long.
Maybe another 20 if you don't win this yet. One.
You got to be confident. I was so confident before the season stopped. I was so confident they were going to win the Scudetto. I was 100%. The way the form was going, unbeaten streak, everything was working. The stars were in line. And then all of a sudden, I just keep it simple. A fucking virus came, and that's it. A fucking unfortunate bullshit virus that has cost so many people's lives, and I feel so bad, and has caused not just, I don't even care about football, just things in life that people miss so much, and who knows if it'll ever be normal again. So, and this is a step in the right path that we're starting to see the rock starting to lift. We're seeing some light, and hopefully better things are to come for us. But I just take whatever comes, and I don't take it for granted. That's the most important thing.
Well, let me run down a couple of details on Serie A's return. Then I have a question to ask both of you guys concerning Lazio and Juve, and I'll say my piece on Inter as well. So it was announced today, we're taping this on Thursday, by the Italian government and the league that, yeah, Italian football is coming back. Now, Premier League had already made their announcement a few hours earlier, so it was a really big day for football fans and Calcio fans with a couple of big announcements. So Serie A is going to return on June 20th. That's when you're going to start resuming these fixtures, and they're going to play twice a week. Now, they haven't announced these specific dates yet. I think they're going to do that at some point on Friday, as far as, you know, exactly what days of the week teams will be playing. But our understanding is every team is going to be playing twice a week between June 20th and August 2nd to wrap up the season. Also, Coppa Italia's return was announced today. And the semifinal games, there's a leg left for each of the matchups there. Those are going to be played on June 13th, so they're going to come back a week prior. You've got the return legs between Inter and Napoli and Juve and Milan. And then whoever advances to the finals will play each other on June 17th. So whoever makes it, the two teams that make it to the Coppa Italia finals are going to be super busy, guys. They're going to play on June 13th, June 17th, then June 20th, and then twice a week for the rest of the year in Serie A. So it's going to be just an absolute, absolute whirlwind of a schedule. And, you know, we talked about the protocol a little bit. As things stand right now, if a player on any club test positive for COVID-19, you're going to quarantine the entire team for a couple of weeks. So if something like that were to happen, you may end up having to press pause on the season all over again, and you might have to finish with a playoff or even assign a Scudetto, which is something we've talked about. But I want to go around the table on this, guys, as you know, I mentioned Serie A returning, two games per week for every team between June 20th and August 2nd. Squad depth is going to be huge. Obviously, every team needs to avoid injuries. Now, these players have been off for a little over 2 months. You know, hopefully these guys have been working out on their own and keeping their conditioning up. But really, I don't think there's any real way to simulate full conditioning and full training when you're, you know, stuck in your house or your apartment versus being out there training with your teammates. So the conditioning is going to be bad. We've already seen it in Bundesliga. There are more injuries than there were under normal circumstances. So squad depth, conditioning are going to be huge with these teams playing twice a week. So, Jerry, I want to ask you, are you a little bit concerned about that from a Lazio standpoint? Because, you know, Lazio, an incredible team, but probably not as deep as the Juves and the Inters of the world. And, you know, one of the big advantages I think Lazio had competing for this Scudetto was not involved in Champions League, were eliminated pretty early from Europa League. So just playing one game a week, focusing on Serie A. Do you feel like you lose some of that advantage now that we're talking about playing twice a week between now and August?
Well, my first question is, are there any rules in place where you can recall any of your players that were on loan? So I know that
I don't believe so. No, I think the loan stand. Now, you do have the extra substitutions. You can make five subs per game instead of three. But again, if your squad is not very deep, that maybe won't help you that much, right?
Yeah, I'm just curious if like, I know they had Vela and Brescia on loan. They had Dermisi on loan. A lot of players are on loan, so I was just curious if they do come back. If like, I know certain clubs are done, so do they come back? And if they do, that would really help them. But again, I don't know if that is in place, but they are thin on their roster. But I think they can do it. players like Caicedo will have to play more. You're going to have Maricic will have to play more. Lazzari will probably be used more. But these, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see that how the team does. A lot of the young players will have to be inserted. You'll have a Cataldi kind of player that needs to be playing more now. Dennis Vavro that was signed in the summer may start to see more playing time, maybe allowing him to adjust the league. And it can also be based on the matchups too, right? So
yeah,
like I noticed that the Bundesliga a lot of teams don't even use five substitutions. A lot just use three, and not all the time changing five players is always the best ideal situation, depending on what the flow of the game is too, right? So yeah, you could take off five guys in the terms of if you're winning 3-0, I would use five substitutions absolutely because the game is out of reach. But yeah, in a 1-0 game, you have to think tactically. Is it the smart decision to take five guys off because you want to rest five guys in a defensive kind of game, in a very tight-lipped game? Like, you don't know. There's so many outcomes that even the best teams sometimes can't even afford to maybe just use all the players that they want. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think Lazio is in a tough situation if there are two games per week because they have a lot of injuries. I know that Sena Lulic is nowhere near to the form that they were hoping by now. Lucas Leiva had a surgery, I believe, for his knee, but it seems like he's on target to return on time. It's going to be interesting because as well, and the biggest concern is, aside from having the protocols, and we talk about like the whole COVID-19 protocol, if someone comes in contact, is the game shape and the physical fitness of these players and if they're going to be ready to play at a high level. And in the Bundesliga, there's been a surmountable amount of injuries that just keep on mounting up. And the games that I watched this weekend, it wasn't even like player challenges that created injuries. It's just freak injuries where players are just running and they feel tightness in their quad or their whatever, their cap or anything that pulls, and they feel a tweak or something. And it's like, okay, and that's what scares me the most is if Lazio starts to see injuries, how they're going to be able to adapt to this.
Now, Daniel, on the flip side for Juve, I can kind of ask you the opposite question. It's arguably the deepest squad in Serie A, maybe not as much in the midfield, but plenty of options at forward, plenty of options in the back line, you know, two goalkeepers who are, you know, very good, including one of the greatest players in the history of that franchise is the backup goalkeeper. Do you look at this twice a week thing maybe as an advantage for Juve, or are there maybe some positions like the midfield that worry you a little bit with depth?
Well, like Jerry was saying, you have your team that you hope doesn't get injured, and you kind of focus on that. But then again, if you feel little tweaks and things and pulls, there's not much to do. And then the depth in the midfield is not good. So, you know, not that Pjanic has been 100% all year, not that he's played very well, but if he goes down and, you know, Ramsey's been hurt on and off all year, so anything with him could happen. Douglas Costa, yes, it's a deep squad, but it's also an older squad in age-wise. You know, Ronaldo's going to be up there, so you don't know if he can play two games a week. You got Higuain, Chiellini, who just came back from a serious injury, so you're not sure if these guys can sustain playing two games a week. But you would hope that, you know, the quality, you know, especially up front, would help them succeed, right? So I'd be a little more worried if I was a Lazio fan, but, you know, it could, an injury could happen to any team, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, if I look at it from an Inter perspective, and, you know, I'm not really on the same level playing field that you guys are on, because, you know, Juve and Lazio are separated by a point. Inter's got a big hill to climb. You know, they're technically 9 points behind Juve, but they do have the extra game in hand. So best case scenario, they'd be 6 points behind. So certainly at a disadvantage when it comes competing for point for point. But I certainly don't count Inter out of it completely. because they have very good depth on paper, but it would rely on a couple of injury-prone players staying healthy. So I'm not 100% confident about this because, you know, obviously, you know, there are areas where Juve has far greater depth than Inter, but midfield, Inter has the advantage in depth in that department. But
for sure,
a lot of that is going to depend on a guy like Stefano Sensi, who from October through March was just hurt all the time. If he can find a way to be healthy for, you know, 2 months, then I think the squad's going to be in really good shape. In the front line, you know, Inter, they play with two strikers in the formation. So, you know, they've got, you know, four guys technically. One of them is 17 years old. So, you know, I kind of hope that Esposito doesn't have to play a whole lot. But if Alexis Sanchez can actually, for the first time in I don't know how many years, can find, you know, 2 months where he can stay healthy consecutively, they're going to have good depth at striker. And then I think they're maybe in decent shape in the back line at wing back. If I am, I have heard that Asamoah is now finally healthy. He was, you know, injured for a few months while the season was still going on. If he really is healthy, he's going to add great depth at left wing back because Ashley Young is, you know, 80 years old. He's been very good at left wing back, but he's not going to be able to play two games a week. So if Asamoah is there to spell him, that's going to be a big help. I hope we never see Bidagi play again because the guy is dreadful. So at left wing back, they'd be okay, I think, with Young and Asamoah. Right wing back, Kandreva has had a pretty good year. And I, you know, it's big of me to say that because I was his biggest critic for the previous two seasons, couldn't stand the guy, but he's been very good under Conte at right wing back. But, you know, he's older and he plays with heavy pace. He's not a two game a week type of guy. So it's going to be important for Victor Moses to play some decent football and to stay healthy to spell him there. I'm not worried about center back at all with Inter. You know, Handanovic, knock on wood, if he stays healthy, they're going to be fine at goalkeeper, but they have no viable backup at goalkeeper. So I feel pretty good about Inter's depth, and I think that that's maybe something that they can help them climb up a little bit higher in the standings, but it does depend on a couple of guys like Sensi and Alexis staying healthy that don't normally stay healthy. So if those guys get hurt again, a lot of that depth I talk about just flies out the window. Before we take a deeper dive on Juve with Daniel, I want to talk about a player. Now, this does concern Juve a little bit because he was talked about for, you know, maybe being a guy who could have found his way to Juventus. It doesn't look like it's the case. You know,
smells
according
like shit.
To
he smells like I want to give an intro. He's. I'm sorry to cut you off, Alex.
No, it's
my
okay.
Apologies.
No, it's okay.
I like to give an intro to who we are about to discuss. He smells like shit. He looks like shit. And he is a piece of shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Mauro, piece of shit. Get the fuck out of Serie A, Icardi. That's
and you know what? And your words only make me feel better. Because what I said at the top that I'm having a great day, half of that is because Calcio is coming back. And the other half of that is because, according to reports, Icardi to PSG is a done deal, that they're going to redeem the loan. Now they're actually getting him at a discount because the option to buy that they agreed on last summer was 70 million. It looks like they're getting him for 60 million euros. And I'm okay with that, guys, for a couple of reasons. Now, as much as I hate to give anybody discounts, like I certainly don't want Inter to give Barca a discount on Lautaro. But I think in the case of Icardi, I can accept the discount because the directors and every Inter fan wants him off the team so badly. It's certainly different from the Lautaro situation because they would be happy to keep Lautaro. They're trying to get rid of Icardi, so they don't have as much leverage there. And, you know, the other reason why I'm happy about it is fully amortized. So the 60 million euros is pure profit. I'm just happy I can say Icardi's no longer going to be on this team. So, you know, before we get into, you know, his career choice staying in Paris, I wanted to ask Lucci. So, Daniel, you know, I know that Juventus has been talked about as a destination for Icardi for the last really 2.5 years. It's come up a lot. It appears that that's not going to happen now. Are you disappointed at all? Is this the guy you wanted to see in the black and white?
I wouldn't say disappointed, more so the fact that, you know, it kind of is what it is. I wouldn't want them to waste, you know, 67 million euros on a player like Icardi. Although he's great on the pitch, he's you know, we all know he has some issues, especially, you know, marital issues. It would have been honestly a step above anyone better than Higuain would have been, you know, a positive buy. But hopefully we can find someone maybe a little cheaper who has a little less issues off the pitch. So I wouldn't say disappointed in Icardi. You know, I wouldn't have been too happy if he came. But I think we still need to find a replacement for Higuain, who's, you know, clearly not the player he used to be.
Yeah, no
even
doubt.
Even though Jerry loves him so much.
Fucking hate no them doubt. Both, man. I think they're both. I think Higuain's past his prime. Like,
absolutely.
But he was and a good bad. Player. Well, yeah, that too. I just don't like their character. That's all. Their character is what rubs me off the worst way. Like, you think that they're these players that care so much, and they just bring too much baggage. Like, you have Higuain that left Juventus, or he was swapped for Bonucci, and like the whole Bonucci went to Milan, and then Milan and Juventus brought Bonucci back, and they swapped Higuain. And then I remember the game that last season when Higuain played against Juventus, he got the red card, he was sent off, and like that guy there is a fucking meathead, man. Like, that's your team. Like, then he's playing with them this season, like nothing ever happened last year, and like there was never a feud, and like this guy, he's just, I don't know.
The thing. He never wanted to leave. They kind of pushed him out last year, which I understand. But
well, they brought scumbag Bonucci back, and
well, they had to. Well, oh no, with Bonucci, yeah, they had. Yeah, with Higuain, they kind of had to. Bonucci, yeah. not as much.
I don't know. I don't like Higuain that much. I just don't like his attitude, his persona. I think he was a good player. He's had a good year. You can't say he hasn't. He's produced when he had to. I just think he's scum for what he did to Napoli. Maybe I'm just being biased, but I just didn't like what he did when he celebrated that goal. I have no resentment of him wanting to leave Napoli to join Juventus. Everybody wants to win, and I believe his contract was up, and he left. And he had the choice to, and then anybody has the choice to do what they want. But when you say you're loyal and you celebrate against your old team, you don't do that, man. You lose the respect and everything that goes with it. And for Icardi, he just brings too much baggage and bullshit.
Well, Bonucci celebrated against Juve last year or 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Another piece of shit. There you go.
They brought him back anyway.
I guess, I don't know, man. I don't know how these people fucking operate, man. I wouldn't bring that guy back. I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
I wouldn't bring you. You sell. I trade you. You play X amount of years for my club. We brought you in and all this stuff. Like, we treat you as family, and you leave and you mock us with a celebration. Like, fuck you, man. If Ciro Immobile ever did that to Lazio, I think I would lose all the respect for him. I would lose if we sent him to like Juventus, say, and just hypothetically, and he celebrated scoring against Lazio, I would lose my shit. But if I love the players that just put their hands down and take the moment to acknowledge I played for that team.
Right.
They give me my opportunity. I have the foremost respect against them. I would never cheer against those clubs. And those players I love so much because they know the routes that they had to take and the hard work and the dedication, the devotion the club had showed them at the time. And they don't forget what had made them become who they are today. And I don't know off the top of my head, I can tell you right now, those kind of players, but those are the type of players that you want to cheer for because they understand who their club was and they understand that they are with a new club, but you don't forget what made you who you are today.
You know, somebody today asked me an interesting question about Icardi. I have a pretty clear answer for it, though. I'll ask you guys your opinion. Because obviously something we've known about Icardi is that even after going to PSG, it sounds like he really wanted to come back to Serie A. And we know, you know, he has a life in Italy. You know, he was raising several children there. He and his wife seemed to enjoy it. You know, it seemed like they never really wanted to leave Inter, or they wanted to go to Juventus, and now they're going to be in France. And, you know, PSG, obviously, you know, it's a big club and it's a rich club, but it's not in a great league. So somebody asked me if Icardi might end up regretting this decision or if he made the wrong decision. And my answer to that question is absolutely not. I think he made a great decision because, you have to think about where he is now with some of the choices he's made and his wife and agent have made in that, okay, a couple of years ago, okay, Icardi hadn't burned his bridges yet with Inter, was still, you know, was still the captain of that squad and pretty beloved, you know, not by everyone, but beloved by most Interisti. And at that time, a couple of years ago, it seemed like Real Madrid was tracking him, like they were interested. Juve was tracking him, you know, and those clubs suddenly don't seem very interested in him. And it might have a lot to do with the way he's conducted himself. Oh, and by the way, Inter doesn't want him back. So that's no longer an option. So when you consider like how many bridges this guy has burned, if not PSG, then where? Like, it doesn't seem like he has a lot of options for big clubs. And You know, I know that I ripped the French league guys, but PSG is not a bad place to be because in that league, you're guaranteed a lot of trophies. You're guaranteed Champions League every single season. For a guy like Icardi, guaranteed to score a lot of goals in the French league every year. And Edinson Cavani is on his way out. So he's going to have, you know, one less guy to compete with, you know, for minutes and playing time at striker. So, you know, given the situation that he's in, with teams that are no longer interested in him, including the one that had him under contract for the last several years, I think it's actually pretty fortunate he's in a situation now where he can stay at PSG because the guy is going to feast there, I think. I mean, Jerry, do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. I think that going to PSG, he's fit in well this year. I don't know off the top of my head how many goals he scored for the club. I think it's in double digits, if I'm not mistaken. He apparently... he's helped him in many areas that we know that he's known for, but you're right. He's going to win a lot of championships there. His style of play really suits well in with PSG. Like, it's not a fast, high-tempo league. And the way he plays where he likes to that give and go and make the cut, and like, he's very stationary, I find, the way he plays. Whereas if he were to go join, let's just say that he had joined Chelsea, as Chelsea was rumored to have were interested in his services, I think he would really fail as with the league. So like last year when Higuain was with Chelsea, I thought that at times he looked really brilliant in the way he was able to score. I think he scored 2 or 3 goals with the team in a short time. But a lot of the time he couldn't keep up with the speed because he's no longer the player he was, first. And two, it's just a fast league that he wasn't able to adapt to it. And I find that Icardi is not a fast player. He's more positional, more tactical. And that kind of football is really good in for his strengths. Sorry, his strengths were adequate to like the French league or the Italian league, whereas the EPL is much more run and gun. It's more physical, and that style of play does not suit Icardi. And so, like, he's going to be playing with a team that invests a lot of money to buy some of the best players. They try to win season after season, and he will have a good chance of winning Champions League. Even though I do believe that they're never going to win because they're just one of those teams that are just a big bust when it comes to Champions League.
Well, and I think part of the issue is because, you know, PSG is always loaded with talent. I think one of the reasons why they fail in Champions League, I don't think they've ever advanced past the quarterfinal. It's because they're not tested in their domestic league at all. So it's like, so they don't know what it's like to go up against the top competition until they get to Champions League. And I just don't think they're ready for it.
Yeah, he's going to pad his stats in the French league for sure. Like, that's a 100% thing. That Neymar, Mbappe, these guys pad stats. But, like, yeah, he's got 12 goals so far. There you go. 12 goals and 3 assists is really good. And he's already have beaten his record last year of 11 goals. So, and I think that he hasn't started a lot of games. He's played 20 games. And I think a lot of the games that he came into were off the bench. So, he can make a difference in games as well. And the competition that he's going to play in the French league is nowhere surmountable as good. And I'm not trying to disrespect the French league. There's a lot of good players that come out of the French league. And I don't mind watching it. But I just think the talent level in Serie A, in EPL, and in La Liga, I would just say those three, are just on another level. So for me, it's hard. You're right. When PSG has to play in the Champions League, they're not playing the same type of level of football that other leagues are and other teams are playing. So, at the end of the day, this is a good situation. This is something good for Inter. They got rid of the virus. He's gone. And thank God Chelsea didn't sign him, because I would have fucking bought a jersey and I would have lit it on. I literally would have bought an Icardi Chelsea jersey and lighted it on fire.
For your sake, like I was hoping Inter would swap Icardi with Lazio for Ciro. I think that would have been perfect.
Yeah, well, how about I just fucking drink some gasoline and then light myself on fire, because that's what I would do. If I saw Icardi come to Lazio, I think I would stop being a Lazio fan, maybe. Honestly, just because how much I fucking hate Icardi. Or I would just hope that Inzaghi somehow, like, disowns him. Like, fucking, oh, God. I wouldn't stop being a Lazio fan, honestly, but I just would live in sadness for a couple of years, knowing that Icardi was our striker.
Well, Daniel, sorry, Jerry.
I don't know. Fuck him.
Fuck Daniel, him. I'll give you the last word on Icardi to PSG. You think this is a good career move for him?
Yeah, just to add on to what you guys said, I think it's a good move, not only for him, but for Inter too. You know, they get, you know, their money that they can put towards another player, you know. And for him, you know, like you guys said, he's going to play with Neymar. He's going to play with Mbappe, Verratti. Now that Cavani will be leaving, you know, he's probably going to be the main guy up top. So, you know, he's going to be able to score lots of goals. Yeah, I agree with Jerry. They probably won't be able to win the Champions League unless they, you know, maybe fix up that back end a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel That's like they're so used to walking. Right. So I feel That's like they're so used to walking into their Ligue 1 games. You know, like, you know, we're going to score 5, so it doesn't matter if we let in 2. But when it comes into Champions League, you know, they have definitely a harder challenge, right? So I think it's going to be good for Icardi for sure. Maybe, you know, he'll score lots of goals and it'll get him back with Argentina on the international stage as well. So, you know, maybe once he fixes his attitude a little bit, that could maybe turn his career around. You never know.
Fair enough.
It's a good point. The only player that comes to my mind anytime I think of all PSG's defense is Marquinhos. Marquinhos is the only guy I can ever think about who they have on the back end. Thiago Silva?
Yeah, me too.
I like Marquinhos. Like, I actually watched a lot of PSG games, and I think Thiago Silva is really good, very good. But I think he's aging now, and Marquinhos is much younger. And I like him. I like the way he's developed into a player. He's getting better. He really stands out to me, Marquinhos. Like, and I think that Thiago Silva has dealt with injuries this year, if I'm not mistaken. But I really like Marquinhos. I like the way he's able to, like, assist in the back end. He's really good offensively. He's like an all-around player. But I don't know. At the end of the day, their defense is not good enough to help them win games. It's true. That's the main thing, and it is what it is.
Well, since we have Daniel on with us, who supports Juventus, we wanted to take a little of the deep dive on Juve, and before we get into some of the technical stuff, I wanted to get your story on how you became a Juve supporter. We tend to ask this to all of our guests because, yeah, I think a lot of people have interesting stories, whether it be family or geography, or you like the colors. You know, everyone has a different take. What made you a fan of Juve?
Actually, I'm probably a rare case in this one, but my dad's not really a Juve supporter, so he's more of a Calcio fan altogether rather than just one team supporter. But I was a young kid, you know, whatever, maybe 10 or so. He came home with, you know, as a gift. You know, I got something for you. Take a look. And it was the classic black and white Juve jersey. You know, as a young kid, you wear that. It's, you know, I can't get it dirty. It's black and white. You know, you feel like Del Piero out there with, you know, wearing his jersey. And, you know, ever since then, you know, I started watching, idolizing Del Piero as a youngster. And, you know, over the years, as I gotten older, I just continued to follow them. And it goes, you know, something with the jersey that makes you. Just like the colors, like the team. And I started from a young age, kind of just, I guess, by fluke, by getting a jersey at a young age.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times it is stories like that, especially when you talk about childhood, like, you know, it, various different reasons can make you a fan of a club. Now, you know, a Juve legend is a guy currently on the squad. And even though he did leave, went to PSG, you know, last year he did come back. Gigi Buffon, he's had a very long road with Juventus. He's won a lot of trophies, not Champions League, as I'll remind everyone, but he's won a lot of big trophies at Juventus. What are some of the moments of Buffon, you know, at Juve that really stand out to you? And how would you describe him as a legend of that club?
Well, I think it goes beyond being a Juve legend. To me, he's pretty much an Azzurri legend. You know, that every time you watch Italy, you've always seen Buffon. You know, they're playing for past, you know, 20 years, 20 plus years. And, you know, even at 42 now, I believe he is, you're still making, even though he's not playing all the time, he's still making those incredible saves, you know. He makes a great save. His enthusiasm, he pumps you up, you know, fist pumping his defenders. Just even when, let's say Juve or Italy, you know, they gave up a shot and Buffon had to make a save, you know, he would be yelling at everyone. You love to see that kind of passion, that kind of enthusiasm. He's just, although he did leave, like you said, for PSG, Juve is where he belongs. And we knew that from the beginning. And, he's an icon. He's an icon for Juve. He's an icon for Italy. And hopefully he has a few more years in him and Juve can bring home a Champions League. But, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up just yet.
Well, never say never. That's what they say, right?
But right,
in recent news, there has been a lot of talk of the possibility of Paul Pogba joining Juventus. And basically, there's always going to be the links between him either staying with Manchester United, extending his contract, or you never know what's true. And while it would take a lot of work for this to become a reality, would you fancy the idea of Pogba returning to the Bianconeri?
I might be in the minority with this one, but I personally do not want Pogba back. Not only because he's going to cost us, you know, an incredible amount when it comes to transfer fees and wages and everything, but, you know, a few years ago we offered him the number 10. He stayed a year. You know, everything seemed fine, and then he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, now I want to go back to Man United. I got some unfinished business there, and I want to go back." You know, he turned his back on us. You know, when we needed him, when the team was still good, they still had a solid team. Now, you know, maybe he does want to come back. Maybe they do want to bring him back, but he had his chance. If he really wanted to be here, I feel like he wouldn't have left. And you know, once a player leaves, it's not the same if they come back again. You don't, the connection's not the same. Of course, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I'd be fine with Pogba not coming back and Juve spending, you know, that transfer money elsewhere where we really need it. Maybe some younger talent, you know, better, you know, a right back, striker. You know, we need to fill a few holes. So by signing Pogba, we won't be able to get as many, you know, fix as many holes as we can. So,
well, one manager I do have a lot of respect for and unfortunately had left last season was Massimiliano Allegri and was replaced by Maurizio Sarri. And I feel that Juventus has shown to be inconsistent under their new manager. And however, now their last match against Inter Milan before the season went on hiatus and on a hold, it seemed as if they were starting to discover Sarri ball. So do you believe the hiring of Sarri was the right decision, or was there someone else in mind who do you think would have been a better fit at the time of his hiring?
Well, I was a fan of Allegri, you know, coming and staying. You know, he got a lot of things accomplished when he was with Juve, you know, a couple Champions League finals. He helped the team grow after Conte left. Last year, you could tell the team was starting to, you know, not play, you know, up to their potential, and maybe it was time for a new voice behind the bench. So I get that they had to let, you know, Allegri go to get a new voice. But I don't mind Sarri. I just don't think that this current Juventus team fits his style very well. They're not very, you know, the midfield's not fast. You know, they're they're not great passers. You know, when you got Kadira and Matuidi playing in the midfield, you know, you're not going to get much skill and much, you know, technique out there. It's more just about hard working, I guess. But I think Sarri needs a little more time, maybe another year or two with some, you know, improvements in the midfield and maybe a younger squad to be able to implement his style a little better. And he was pretty much the only option. There was talk of Pep Guardiola, and, you know, of course, that would be a dream, right? Who wouldn't want Guardiola to manage your team? But if it wasn't Sarri, it's hard to see what the other options were, because Allegri was gone and Sarri seemed the only one interested, and they were interested in him. So hopefully things work out. If they don't, it might be an end to Juve's Serie A reign. So I guess time will tell. You know, he's got a few weeks here before the season starts back up to show what he can do with this team.
You know, what a difference a year makes when it comes to Paulo Dybala. I mean, a summer ago, you know, it looked like Juve was really trying to move him. There was nearly a deal with Manchester United, and that had effect on a number of different teams, because that would have been a Dybala-Lukaku swap. So that would have kept Lukaku from Inter, would have sent Dybala to Man United, and then Dybala ends up staying at Juventus, and he's had a great, great season. And now it looks like he's renewing his deal till 2025, and he really seems to love Juventus. Do you think, well, first of all, how relieved are you that he didn't go? And do you think he should be the face of Juve moving forward, with obviously Ronaldo being aging and Chiellini and Buffon aging? Do you think Dybala should be the face of the team?
Well, I'm glad he stayed. You know, he had, you know, from the first year he came, you know, he had bundles of talent. He was just young and he was still, you know, learning the ropes a little bit. But it's exciting that he's getting better. Maybe Sarri has helped improve him. You know, maybe that was, you know, maybe that's the benefit of having Sarri. You know, some of the rest of the team might not be doing too well, but, you know, Dybala is definitely better, having a better season this year than he was last year. And I think that the team should definitely focus, you know, moving forward around him, trying to find players that suit his style, you know, trying to find players that can get him the ball, find him in space. You know, in some games, Sarri has him kind of playing towards more of a center forward, a false nine, a right winger. You know, you got to find his place, you know, on the pitch that fits him best. But I think, you know, with his age, you know, he's still young. He still has his prime years ahead of him. He's definitely the star that should be the star of this Juve team going forward for the next, you know, four or five, if not more, years, right? Yeah. I think, yeah, it should be common sense that he does not leave this team anytime soon, unless he wants to, but it seems that that's not even a consideration in his mind.
Well said. And, you know, earlier we talked about the midfield, you know, being the weakness of the squad. You know, a couple of moves were made last summer. These were both free transfers, so it seemed like there was a lot of upside. Certainly one of these has worked out terribly. And that was Adrian Rabiot, and Aaron Ramsey was also brought in. Yeah, you know, how do you evaluate those two signings? And you know, what does Juve now need to do? Is it seems like Rabiot is already on his way out, and maybe Ramsey as well could be sold. So what do you think needs to happen to make that Juve midfield stronger?
Well, I think they need to find someone, you know, some younger players that are mobile, that are versatile. I know Kulusevski is coming in the summer. He's a young, good, versatile signing. But when it comes to Rabiot and Ramsey, I honestly had high hopes for both. I know Ramsey's always been, you know, injury prone with Arsenal, but when he is fit, he can make a difference, and he does make a difference. But the problem is for him to stay on the pitch. And for Rabiot, someone like his size, he's got, you know, great skill, a great, you know, he's big, he can move. It seems weird that maybe he needs more time to adapt. Maybe he's not comfortable playing in Serie A and he only came for the money, because, you know, they offered him quite a bit in wages and salary. I would not be surprised if he ends up leaving in the summer, just so they can use that money, you know, towards another midfielder who they might have their eye on. I know there's talk of Jorginho and Tonali and everyone else. But just kind of like they did with Emre Can, you know, they had high hopes for him as well. He had a, you know, a decent year. And then, you know, this year was, it's kind of shocking he didn't play more for the first half of the season before they shipped him to Dortmund. And it seems like their past few free transfer signings have not turned out well, as they would hope. But I don't mind Rabiot. I think he definitely has a lot of room to improve. But if that's going to be with Juve, I don't think so at this point.
Nah, fuck that scumbag. I fucking hate Rabiot, man. I
fucking and the mom.
Fuck him. You know, I got to watch what I say. But yeah.
I almost teed you up for something there.
Fucking, oh, God. You're such going to tee me up. Well, yeah, fuck her too, man. Fuck it. Piece of shit. Fuck her.
You know, as long as Inter doesn't end up with Tonali and Juve somehow steal that one, I'll be happy. That's whoever goes in and out after that, it doesn't matter. But we can't lose Tonali.
I want Tonali so bad. And I'm sure everybody wants Tonali so bad because he's such a good player. So, man, like Lucci, if Juve manages to get Tonali and Inter loses out on that one, you're not going to want to talk to me for a couple days. I'm going to be very upset.
You guys stole Barella already, so you got to give us at least one.
What are the wages on Rabiot? Six million euros a year? What is it? Like fucking,
I think it's even higher if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's like eight or nine, maybe. It's crazy.
That's gotta be one of the worst signings that fucking Juventus has done in a fucking decade. Oh my god.
The rumors is that was the only one of the reasons why he came, because he had offers from Barca and other places, but you know, Juve were able to offer him more money. And that was maybe why he came. So
much money for a player who didn't even fucking play for almost a whole year. Jesus. That's another thing, man. Like, I don't like his attitude. I don't know who's worse, him or Icardi. Like I think this guy might be just a tad worse than Icardi because he brings the baggage himself, whereas Icardi's wife brings the baggage.
Well, and at least Icardi contributes more on the field than Rabiot does.
I agree.
Absolutely. Like, this guy is just fucking shit, man. I watched one of the games. I can't remember which one it was, but his lack of like, effort is so bad.
He looked uninterested for most of the games that he's played in. Yeah, I agree.
He doesn't look athletic. His positioning is really weak. His back check is, like, his back, getting back into the defense, like, to help out. It's really poor. Even his like the counter attacking when they're in transition is very weak. He gives the ball up too easily. One on one, he's very weak. Everything is challenging. The challenging is the worst.
The fact is, if Matuidi is starting ahead of you in Rabiot's case, you must be doing something wrong. You must not be playing very well. So if he wants to stick around and he wants to prove his worth, that's great. But he better, you know, start stepping it up and showing it on the pitch, or else, because Matuidi should not be starting on this team. Borderline should probably not even be on this team, but, you know, desperate times, I guess.
Oh, good stuff there. And I want to get into tonight's Jerry story. We do have a new one tonight. Now, I've been told a couple things about the story Jerry's going to have for us. Number one, I think it's going to be a really good one. And number two, you know, he wanted to save this one for when Daniel Lucci joined us, because you guys have worked together before, and I understand it was very important for you, Jerry, to tell this story when Lucci is with us, because he can corroborate this story so people know you're not just making this shit up. So without further ado, Jerry, give us tonight's story, my man.
So first, I'm going to tell you the type of person I was at work when Lucci worked with me. Or when I worked with Lucci, sorry. And what I used to do is, I was an assistant dairy manager at the time, and my staff, we used to have a lot of fun. And me trying, who should be like the one who delegates and makes sure that people are doing stuff, and like when you close the store, that you're being the responsible person. Well, that wasn't me. And it got me into trouble.
Just say it nicely, that wasn't you.
Yeah, it wasn't me. So what I used to do when my part-timers used to come into the back room, I would launch 750 gram of Balkan-style yogurt, big yogurt, and I would launch it above the door.
What the hell is Balkan-style yogurt? Like, I've heard of Greek yogurt? Balkan-style yogurt?
It's yogurt. Like, you ever seen it? It's called Balkan. It's like.
Were they eating in Serbia or something?
It's called. You never heard of Balkan-style yogurt?
I'm not
Jerry,
a yogurt expert.
You're the dairy expert. You should know.
It's Balkan. It's like so there's Greek yogurt, and the thing with Greek yogurt, it has protein, and that's why it's so high in demand, because people look for protein in their workout, in their meals, to gain muscle and muscle recovery as well. So like that's why a lot of people prefer like Greek yogurt as opposed to like Balkan yogurt. It's like regular yogurt. It's just, I guess, a fancy name for it. It's what they call it here. It's like just 2% yogurt, 1% yogurt. It's more dairy than they're both dairy, but Greek yogurt has something else. It's much thicker. And when you have like Balkan yogurt, it's much more smooth, you can say. That's why I fucking can't stand Greek yogurt, because it's so hard to eat sometimes. But okay, back to the story. Basically, I would have my part-timers walk in, and sometimes I would set up traps on above the door, so when they open the door, there'll be like a latch, and like yogurt would fall on their head, or something would like I would like have things fall on their head and in the back room. Or when I knew they were coming in, I would just launch yogurts in the back room, and then it would splatter all over them, and they'd be drenched in yogurt, and they would have to go out on the floor and work all covered in yogurt. Like their shirt would be a disaster. I had a buddy of mine named Alex. He actually, coincidence, this Russian guy that worked with us, he was awesome. I used to whip yogurts at him, and like nice. Full force, he would whip them back at me. So yeah, those are like good times that I had at Longo's, man. Like,
fortunately for me, I haven't gotten any yogurt tossed at me yet, but there is some on the walls in the back room if you still want proof. It's been there for about 5 years now. It's still stuck to the wall, thanks to Jerry.
Yeah,
isn't it somebody's job to clean that?
Yeah, it should have been Jerry's, but I guess
he wanted me to clean it
that day, so he couldn't clean.
I refused to clean it. We, back in my days, like when I my first grocery job, before I even met Lucci, I used to whip tomato cans across the store. Like, literally launch them when people were in the store, and they would end in the produce section. And I don't even know why I used to do that. Like, people used to egg me on to do stupid shit, man. Like, such stupid shit, and I would do stuff like that. But this is a good story I got. And I caught someone cheating on his wife at my Longo's store that I worked with. At Longo's that I worked at with Lucci. And it's funny. This guy here, okay? He, I won't say his last name. I won't even say his first name. We'll just say his name was Tom, okay? And Tom wasn't the nicest guy to his wife. And he had three kids that worked with the company. So it was Christmas Eve, and he was with the Starbucks manager. And we'll call her, Jackie. And Jackie was with Tom. And on the stair, there's like the stair steps that goes upstairs to the manager's office. And he had asked us to like just to watch the store and to make sure that it was near the closing time of 6 o'clock, and we had to let any remaining customers out. I didn't do it. I let the other guy do it, the assistant grocery manager. I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing this. And I left. And then his son, moments later, I would say 5-10 minutes later, was looking for his father. And I'm like, okay, I know his father is upstairs in the office, because I that was the last time I remember. So I go upstairs and I'm knocking on the door. I'm like, Frank, your son's looking for you. Here I am. I know that he's having an affair with the Starbucks manager that at the time both are married. And she's married, he's married. Anyways, weeks later, doesn't he get a visit from the Starbucks manager? Husband. He comes to the store. He found out. I don't know how he found out. Or probably I do. I just don't remember. But short story. Now, upstairs, okay, there's a thing called the loft. And the loft is basically a cooking room. And Lucci can actually explain better if he wants, if I don't explain it right. But it's basically like a cooking room that people come at nighttime, and there's classes given. They learn how to cook. There's meal preparations, and it's like a thing for people to be engaged and learn more about the products that Longo sells, their own private brands. And we also use it for our manager meetings, the way it's designed. So doesn't it that this guy come in and they're beefing it out?
Wait, wait, you forgot a key point. Forgot to say it's a glass room, so can see everything.
This is why we needed Lucci here.
Yes.
It's glass a glass room, so everyone can see everything that's going on because all the walls are glass. Okay, so Jerry, carry on from there.
It's Tuesday afternoon. I still remember the day. I don't know how I remember the day. It's Tuesday afternoon. People are shopping, and you see these two people about to fight. And they're and you see this guy snapping at him, just all force calling him out and, like, knowing already what he had done. And he's all pissed off. So it got escalated, and he had to be sent out to another store because of what happened. And his punishment was really bad because they made sure that the store that he had to go to was like an hour and a half distance away from his house. They put him in a situation that he had eventually quit and went to another supermarket competitor. Eventually, he came back with the company, but this guy has been, like, all over the place. And I heard through somebody that he had to change his phone number because of situations. And, like, yeah, I even heard a story about his son that works in the company. He's a store manager. He's had affairs before too. And, like, it's a really shady couple of people. But the business, man, I'm telling you, the business is so fucked up that I didn't know when I, looking back, I didn't know that a grocery store was so, had so much drama involved that it would be like this. We know another situation where, like, my dairy manager, I'm not going to say names, but, like, he had an affair with one of the cashiers at the store, and, like, now they're dating, and, like, he left his wife for this.
Soap opera.
Oh, God. I don't know, man.
It's a lot more popular than you think. I would have never known.
I mean, I have heard like regular people will, like, go to grocery stores, like, try to meet women. So I guess that also carries over to the people who work at the grocery stores.
Just it's a great place to hook up. More.
Yeah.
I was just loving the moment because here I am thinking I know what's going on. Like, I never catch these things in the store. Like, I never catch the little details. But that night on Christmas Eve, and I'm thinking, like, this guy's looking for his fucking father. He's looking for his father for over a half an hour. Can't find his father. Meanwhile, his father is in the office freaking, you know what, with the Starbucks manager. And this poor guy's mother's at home. And, like, he at the time, I think he was still young. He was, like, in high school, I think. Like, high school, or just started college, and forgot what his name was, but, like, poor kid, man. Like, he was actually a nice kid, and, like, he was nothing like his older brother, who was a scumbag as well. And, like his father was a nice guy, but he was a nice guy to me, and, like, and even to Lucci. But, like, this other half that you see, that you would just be like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like my lesson here is that, and I said this the day I got married. If you're going to get married, be committed, because you're not spending $10 to get married. You're spending thousands of dollars. I would say estimate on our wedding was in the ballpark. I would say, I don't know exactly, 50,000 say. Now you're putting half of that money, is you're putting down yourself, mm-hmm. and your spouse is putting another half. That money there, you could be doing better things if you're going to cheat. Keep that fucking money. Keep your peace of mind, and, like, just don't even bother getting married. Like, I would hate myself. I would never cheat on my wife because I can never live with myself first. Never. Like, as much as I've done bad shit and seen bad shit, this is one thing where you could not egg me on to do. You can egg me on to whip an egg at your car. I would throw an egg at your car. You want me to throw shit in the store? I do it. I do anything. But that's one thing where I just don't. Like, my uncle has been cheated on 3 times by my aunt. I don't even call her my aunt anymore. I call her a fucking piece of shit. Piece of shit scum. I call her. Yeah, every time I hear her name, I just call you a piece of shit scum. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my uncle, like, he had, like,
he stayed with her after all that?
3 times. He had kids. That's what.
He did it for the kid. Makes it tough. Yeah.
He has recordings. He used to have, like, his video recorder, like when you call the voice messaging. I think he had like it wired and taped, and he had all these voice recordings of like how they would have like conversations with him and her and this other guy. But again, that's, I don't know the full details. I just know that she was a piece of shit, and like that would happen at a young age, where it really took a toll on my cousins. And that's something that's not good for kids either, especially if you have kids like that age. That he has two young kids and like one older kid, and it can really take an effect on people, man. Like, you guys hear crazy stories about me, man. That's one crazy story you would never hear me do. I'll tell you that much.
Totally. Yeah, man. Well, listen, Jerry, that was fantastic. And I'm glad that that we had Lucci to confirm the story and even help out with some of the details. And you know, Daniel, I want you to let people know where they can find you. I always, despite the fact that you spew a lot of Juventus propaganda, I really do enjoy following you on Twitter. Where can people find you on social media and they can find your work?
So on Twitter, my handle is Daniele Lucci. It's my name. And then if you search up Daniel Lucci, it's right there.
So is your actual name Instagram, Daniele, not Daniel?
Well, I go by Daniele just because, you know, I feel more Italian that way. But my real name is Daniel. And I think for sure that was probably Jerry's best Christmas Eve present right there. That story, he's carried that with him for probably about 10 years now.
Oh my
and
God.
I heard, I remember I was probably one of the first person that with him that found out, because I was right downstairs while he was upstairs, you know, trying to snoop around, see what was going on.
The best story ever was that guy, Matt, when he put 60 cases of peppers out and he made this towering water tower of peppers in the store just to piss off everybody the next day, because he had quit. And he made a we gotta send you a picture, Alex. He made a cutout cardboard of the produce manager, and he hung it in the back.
So
it was freaking amazing. He spent the whole night he did one thing the whole night on the floor. He just made the massive pepper tower that pissed off everybody, and then he made this cardboard lookalike, which was awesome, in the back room.
Jerry was more of the people's manager more than he was a manager. He was always one of the boys, and you know, as one of the younger guys that was there working with Jerry, it was always a good time when you saw him his big face, you know, smiling at you when you walked into work.
Well, it sounds like a great time. Like, you're getting in food fights, like you're throwing yogurt. It sounds like that's the manager you want to have on duty.
Absolutely. He was really supportive too.
Oh yeah, at the end of the day, these guys make what, $10 an hour, man, and they treat them like they're freaking military, man. You know, it's food, man. I get it, you're getting paid to do a job, but shouldn't be like slavery either, man. Like, people should be going to work a little excited and feeling a little happiness, not being so dreaded to go to work. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Amen to that. And listen, guys, I had a great time on this episode. So make sure you follow Daniel and follow his work. Make sure you follow Jerry at JMancini8. Make sure you follow me at Alex Dono. And make sure you follow this show. It's at CalcioConPod on Twitter, at CalcioConPod. We're trying to grow the Twitter platform there for the show. Of course, we let you know when all the episodes come out, and you know, we talk a little calcio and all that good stuff. And if you're enjoying the show, whatever platform you use, if you could leave us a 5-star review, that would be great, you know, especially for the iTunes users or the Apple Podcast users, because it really helps raise the profile of the show when you leave the 5-star rating. It takes a second, literally a second, to hit 5 stars. If you could take a few extra seconds and leave us an actual review to go with it, that goes a long, long way as well. So thanks again to Daniel Lucci for joining us. For Jerry, I'm Alex. We'll talk to you guys next time. Ciao.